the Public News Service Daily Newscast for November the 18th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. At this week's World Congress on Justice with Children, Illinois experts and researchers shared ways the U.S. could work to get back in step with international norms.
The UN Convention on the Rights of a Child 30 years ago adopted the standard that it's important to set a minimum age of criminal responsibility, meaning kids younger than a certain age cannot be arrested and referred to the justice system. Lisa Jacobs, who manages Loyola University's Center for Criminal Justice Research, Policy, and Practice, says in Illinois and 21 other states, there is no minimum age. And in some others, it's lower than the internationally agreed upon 14.
The impact, the very real and lifelong impact of interactions with these legal systems, starting with policing and arrest, it really highlights the urgency with which we must approach setting minimum ages and raising the ages where they are set currently too low.
Jacob says there are profound racial disparities in the data of arrests of young children. Black people make up less than 15% of Illinois' population, but 60 to 62% of arrested children aged 10 to 13 are black. I'm Lily Wolke reporting.
Meantime, on the East Coast this month, New York Governor Kathy Hochul signed a bill into law that advocates say gives young people who are caught up in the criminal justice system a second chance.
The legislation expands eligibility for youthful offender status, which seals the records of adolescents who are prosecuted in adult criminal court prior to turning 19 years old. Under the new law, New Yorkers who were eligible but previously denied youthful offender status can reapply to have their records sealed 5 years after completing their sentence. Julia Davis of Children's Defense Fund New York says it's a relief for people who made mistakes when they were young.
We see young people making choices that they wouldn't make when they were older. And so giving folks the ability to say, I'm not really the same person I was when I was 17 or 18 years old, gives them the ability to not only sort of have success in their own life, but to contribute to that success of their neighborhood, their family, and their community.
The youthful offender status law is an expansion on the 2017 passage of legislation that increased the minimum age for which adolescents could be charged with most crimes as an adult to 18 years old. New York previously was one of two remaining states that charged 16-year-olds as adults in all cases. I'm Emily Scott.
Now from the New York Times, a bitterly divided House of Representatives voted narrowly Wednesday to censure Representative Paul Gosar, the Republican of Arizona, for posting an animated video that depicted him killing a Democratic congresswoman and assaulting President Biden. The vote was 223 to 207, with just two Republicans, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, joining Democrats in favor. This is PNS. All eyes are on Douglas County, Colorado, and the school district's incoming board after a federal judge found its optional mask mandate out of step with the American with Disabilities Act.
Students with disabilities in Douglas County want some time after a federal judge ruled last week that a new health order making mask wearing optional in school would put students at risk of irreparable harm. But with a new conservative-leaning school board set to take over at the end of the month, that reprieve could be short-lived. David Monroe with Disability Law Colorado says if the new board decides to embrace the health order, students and families would be back at square one.
What's at stake here is the right for especially students with disabilities to have a right to get the same public education every other child does, but to get that education in an atmosphere which is safe to them, does not compromise or jeopardize their health.
Families of students with disabilities and the Douglas County School District took the county's new health department to court, arguing that making masks optional was a violation of the 1990 Americans with Disabilities Act. I'm Eric Galatis.
Utility bills in Southwest Georgia are crushing low-income residents. That's according to a new report called People Over Profit. We get more on the story from Suzanne Potter for Soundbite Source.
Utility bills in Southwest Georgia are crushing low-income residents, according to a new report called People Over Profit, the Campaign for Utilities Justice in Albany. Researchers from the nonprofit 9to5 found that many families pay between $500 and $1,000 a month on their light bill. Kiana Jackson with Black Voters Matter says the city is locked into a decades-long contract with the Municipal Electric Authority of Georgia that charges the same amount regardless of how many people live there.
This current census, we just lost another 10,000 people. we're still going to have to pay for that same amount of power. And so the rates will go up for the citizens that are here.
Finally, Eric Tegetoff tells us that Idaho's first large-scale solar battery from Tesla has been installed by the Nez Perce tribe.
The Tesla Megapack is about the size of a shipping container and will store energy from solar panels to power the Lapwai wastewater treatment plant. Josh Powell is head of the company Revolu Sun, the company that brought the Tesla Megapack to the Nez Perce. He says the battery reduces the tribe's dependence on hydropower dams in the region, which stand in the way of salmon populations.
So it gives the community a lot more resilience. Native American lands, the grid is the weakest on their lands. So it's a natural place to create that support.
Powell says there have been arguments solar is only possible for higher income folks, but he says that has not been his experience. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, heard on radio stations big and small, and find our trusted indicators at publicnewsservice.org.